Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two of the Fan Evening Show tonight. We're taking you up until the Ireland contracting nightly sports call at 10:35 on KDKA Plus and simulcasting right here on the Fan. Jack Hillgrove with you. Until then, being joined now by PennLive.com's Nick Farabaugh, covering the Pittsburgh Steelers, joins us pretty much every time I'm on the air, and he also joins Donnie Football. I know he was on with Donnie last night, so Nick, thanks for pulling double duty, man. I'll ask you right up front, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields in Vegas?
I think it's going to be Fields. After what we heard Mike T say this week, it doesn't mean that I don't think Russ isn't maybe going to start eventually. I could see that happening, but let's be real. The way that he worded it, Wilson is working with the twos so as to not disrupt Justin Fields with the ones.
Yeah.
That wording is pretty specific to me. I think what we could see this week is no declaration on who the starting quarterback will be for the future, but Russell Wilson finally maybe being active as the backup. That's what I think we might see this week. And then next week's when you finally get the whole, you know, okay, this guy's the quarterback. He's going to start barring injury, et cetera, et cetera. But I think we're still maybe a week away from that because, like, I mean, he said, like, a lot of the language he used about Russ, hope he pulls off a full practice. Like, it wasn't exactly like, oh, he's going to be back, et cetera, et cetera. He was running on an anti-gravity treadmill on Saturday on his Instagram, Russell Wilson was, so he wasn't even putting full weight on the calf yet. He hasn't done a single rollout. I haven't seen him sprint once. He's got hurdles to clear before I think they're going to throw him in there as a starter.
What's an anti-gravity treadmill?
It's basically a treadmill that takes off the weight of, so say you have something like a strained calf, when you click down on a treadmill, right, all of the impact goes through your legs.
Okay.
Right? It puts the full flexion on the muscle. Basically, it's a lighter version. So it's like you're running on, I don't know, a cloud or something, where basically there's not as much force going through your muscles. Your muscles aren't activating as much. So there's not as much strain on his calf, basically, right? So it's basically a sign that says, okay, you're not putting full weight on the calf just yet running. So that's something to take into account.
So I posed this question, and it was strictly me posing a question. This isn't the take that I have. So, and I want to get your thoughts on it. So assuming that the Steelers are still very much interested in trading for a receiver at the deadline, it'll probably take maybe a second or a third round pick in 2025. I think that's safe to assume. Also, that conditional sixth round pick that was traded to Chicago to send Justin Fields to Pittsburgh turns into a fourth round pick if Fields plays more than 51% of the snaps. My question is, do you think that that inclines them more to play a healthy Russell Wilson over Justin Fields to limit the chances that it is a sixth round pick? Because if it becomes a fourth, then, and they trade for a receiver, then all of a sudden they're without two middle round picks. Do you think that that weighs at all on the decision process at quarterback?
Not particularly. If they think Russ is better, then they'll start Russ. If they think Justin's better, they'll start Justin. This is, first of all, Mike Tomlin has never been a guy, and I mean this, he's never been a guy to think about the offseason. If he thought about the rest of the season and the offseason right now, Roman Wilson would be playing football. He would already be out there, right? Because by the time week 15 comes around and the Chiefs come to town, Roman Wilson might be the second best wide receiver on this team if he had played a ton. He's not going to be the second best wide receiver on this team in Vegas, though. And that's just kind of an example I use, because what I mean is he plays the best players. He's a next game coach. He doesn't just say that. He means it. Like, he is a guy that focuses on next week and next week only. He don't look ahead. I think if Justin's the better guy that they think he's going to be, then they're going to play Justin. They don't care about that fourth round pick as much as you would think. And we'll see kind of obviously what happens with the mid round pick that you mentioned. If that does turn to a fourth, it actually hinders them to maybe trade for another guy if they don't get, right, Davante Adams. If they have to go after, say, a DeAndre Hopkins, maybe you could have given up a fourth. Well, the fourth is then gone. And so, maybe that hampers them a little bit there. But it's, to me, at least, when I look at what the Steelers kind of are going to do a quarterback, it's going to be whoever the best player is, because I don't think they're going to hamper their ability to win.
Nick Faribault covers the Steelers for PennLive.com, joining us now on the Fan Hotline. So another thing that, we do when we listen to Mike Tomlin speak, you listen for how he words things. You listen for how he says things. You brought up how he worded, Russell Wilson ramping him up to be the backup this week. What did you make of how Mike Tomlin described everything going on with George Pickens today? And how do you assess that situation as we sit here, on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock?
Well, there's a few things. One, he knows he's his most talented weapon. So there's that. Two, I think when you kind of dove into the wording a little bit, specifically on the last question to him, which was, is the intensity of his routes and some of these routes part of his load management? And him basically saying yes, is Mike Tomlin's way of saying we sat him down because of that. And it doesn't necessarily mean a benching. Like, Tomlin never used the word benching. I don't think he would use the word benching. But Mike Tomlin's going to look at George Pickens running routes at 60%, 70% effort and say, okay, he's tired, and he's going to pull them out. So there's that. And so what I kind of have observed there was, obviously the behavior side of things is still a work in progress. He admitted that. So, don't pull the guy down by his face mask at the end of the game. I think he pretty much outright admitted that is something that they were working on and talked about. And I think part of it is also him acknowledging that they are naturally going to keep his snap counts down. Like, part of this is a coaching thing too, Jack, and it makes no sense to me that they're going to pull him off the field for Calvin Austin and Van Jefferson and multiple tight end sets, but they have been doing that. That has been not just something they did last week. They had done that week one through week four. Now, they drastically reduced his snaps in week five, and I think part of that was because of his intensity of his routes, and I think that was a little bit of discipline that they had kind of levied on him, because he's still playing every three wide receiver set and a little bit of those multiple tight end sets. But that's kind of what I took from it, was, yeah, this guy, does need to run his routes harder. At times we disciplined him a little bit from that, and they think he's getting better from the behavioral side of things, but he also has stuff to clean up there. So that's a lot of there. But I think there's a lot of coach speak going on there. And so,
sure,
Mike Tomlin doesn't really give the media an inch, man. He doesn't. So you got to read between the lines. And that's kind of what you took away from that. It wasn't like he was just throwing the issue up by the wayside. I think people were taking that a little too far.
Something else I brought up earlier in the first hour was Falcons fans being upset about Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts not playing a whole lot of meaningful downs last year when Arthur Smith was the Falcons head coach. George Pickens snap count down Pat Freiermuth's hovering around the same 73%. Is there correlation there? Because Arthur Smith is obviously the Steelers' offensive coordinator now.
For sure. There for sure is. It's interesting to me because Pat Freiermuth also doesn't play in a lot of those two tight end sets. Like, the two tight end sets are like Darnell Washington, Connor Hayward, Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, or Scotty Miller. And then sometimes even during the Cowboys game, they had pulled Najee Harris off for those, and it was Jonathan Ward or Aaron Shanklin. You were like, what is going on? One of Arthur Smith's biggest, I think, deficiencies is that he tries to get everyone involved, right? Like, everybody's got to eat in the Arthur Smith offense. I think sometimes there has to be a little selfishness from Arthur Smith to just feed the ball to George Pickens, feed the ball to Pat Freiermuth, because listen, Pickens is 22nd in targets among wide receivers this year. Freiermuth is 14th. I mean, usually those aren't alarming numbers, but there's no one else in this offense outside of those two in the passing game. Those two should be getting way more targets. You know, George Pickens should be getting the Malik Nabers like treatment. You see how they feed him in New York? He gets like 13 targets per game. Like, George Pickens should be getting 12, 13, 14 targets per game. And that he's only getting 7 right now. I just don't think it's enough for him. He's their best wide receiver by a mile. And so I definitely think that's part of it. I think they need to scheme up more stuff for Pickens, Freiermuth, and I think they need to scheme better in the run game for Najee Harris.
He's Nick Faribault. PennLive.com covers the Steelers on the Fan Hotline. It's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC. I always struggle with HVAC. HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's how you compromise with that. All right, Nick, the edge rushers. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the concern level for what's going on at that position group? Tomlin came out today and pretty much ruled out, you know, Highsmith, Herbig, Liao. The fan in me is very, very concerned with what's going on with that position group.
Yeah, the concern's got to be a 9 because it was a huge reason why the Cowboys were able to drive down the field twice for touchdowns late in that game. If they don't lose Herbig, I think the Steelers win that game with all the flaws that they had. I think even if they had Liao, they probably win that game. They lose both of those guys. They lose Herbig in the third, and then Liao goes down early in the fourth, and it was Jeremiah Moon and Isaiah Loudermilk across from T.J. Watt. You just saw after that, you just saw the Cowboys triple team in T.J. Watt, giving him everything. They were even, you know, sending chips inside and trying to slow down Cam Hayward and Keanu Benton. Like, that was significant, and they just didn't have anything from the other side. There was just no juice. Like, go back and watch the fourth down play where they won on. Jeremiah Moon is like buried into the turf, and Dak is just standing there waiting for someone to get up, and there is no pass rush. The pockets were so clean after those guys got hurt. The concern is huge because, again, they don't have anyone else that has proven anything in the NFL either, right? Ade Ogundeji has played, but he wasn't very good in Atlanta. Eku Liota wasn't very good in Carolina. And they don't have anyone else. It's those four right now. And so we'll see. They're going to try and play Loudermilk outside. I think that's going to go about as well as you think it's going to go. He's just too big. He's an interior lineman, not an outside guy. So we'll see. We'll see. And they probably aren't going to be able to bring up both of the outside linebackers because they got to bring up another running back. Jonathan Ward's probably going to come up again because Patterson and Warren are both out. So they're going to need three running backs too. And so, I mean, let's be real here, Jack. The math tells me that either one of these guys has to go on IR or something. There's got to be something that happens here at this edge position where they sign a guy, bring a guy on board, you know, maybe Kyron Johnson. He's out there with the Titans practice squad. Maybe you bring him back. I mean, there could be a few things you do here.
And I believe it was the last question to Tomlin today was about Peyton Wilson and if he had any ability to be bounced outside, and Tomlin was pretty adamant very quickly and just said no. And I think I myself kind of scratched my head at that, given the fact that they are so depleted at the position. And a lot of what we heard about Peyton Wilson is when he was healthy in college, he's got tremendous athleticism at the linebacker position. So if you could kind of shed some light on that, like, what about Peyton Wilson and his skill set, maybe in a situation like they're in now with the injuries at the position, prevents him from maybe bouncing to the outside a little bit?
I mean, he's big and fast and explosive, but he's not particularly good at shedding blocks. I think that's just the big thing. Even at inside linebacker, he does not shed blocks very well. That is one of his main weaknesses. He kind of wins in the run game by scraping over top and, you know, getting under blocks and doing different things there. He's not a pass rusher body. Now, he's a pretty good blitzer from the inside, and he did some stuff off the edge. I think you'll see him lining up at the edge, not as an outside linebacker, though. I think when we talk about, like, overload blitzing, when you have an edge rusher and a backer coming off the other side, like, that's what he did. I think that is going to be really, really big probably this week. They can run some three inside linebacker stuff maybe this week against the Raiders, because you're probably not going to be too fearful of that Raiders passing game, right? Whatever they're doing with the quarterbacks. Devontae Adams is probably, I'm assuming, it's not going to play. So, I mean, there are some weapons to be concerned about, like Bowers and Myers, but you can run three inside linebackers and you can do different blitz packages. Like, the inside backers are going to be so huge. And so maybe you have him be that overload guy, but he has a tough time getting off blocks anyways. If there was going to be an outside linebacker that I would, an inside linebacker that I would trust outside to go out there and shed blocks, it would be Roberts. But I'm not even sure, you know, Elena Roberts is going to be there. So, I imagine your four are going to be T.J. Watt. I think it's going to be Jeremiah Moon, Loudermilk, and then one of the practice squad guys, unless they make a move here tomorrow, which is completely possible.
Nick Faribault of PennLive.com with us. And we talk about Las Vegas. You brought the tight ends up. Brock Bowers has had one hell of a start to his NFL career. Michael Meyer as well, very good in that offense, quarterbacked by Gardner Minshew. What kind of challenges, if any, do they present the Steelers' defense that's hurting right now?
Well, they present the middle-of-the-field challenges because that's where their best two weapons are. Again, assuming – I mean, Devontae has this trade request out and is apparently going to be back from the hamstring. I don't know if they're going to sit him or if he's going to play until he's traded. If he's not traded, I think that's a question. If he doesn't play, assuming that – Jacoby Myers has torched the Steelers in the past from the slot. I think when they went out there last year, he had over 100 yards or near that. He's done that with the Patriots before when he was there. He's just a really strong, nifty slot receiver. And so Beanie Bishop on high alert again, in my opinion. And then I just think Brock Bowers is a really fun move tight end. They can run a lot of cool 12 personnel stuff. They don't really have a ton of guys outside of them. They have DJ Turner. If you are a Pitt fan, you obviously know what DJ Turner can do. He's gotten some more. Trey Tucker's an interesting player, too, out of Cincinnati. He's a little shifty guy. So they have some guys there, but no one that really strikes the fear in you outside of Bowers, Meyer, and Myers. So they can present some challenges. We'll see who the starting quarterback is first, Jack. If Minshew gets hot, he can become a really dangerous passer. Like you saw him get hot against the Ravens, and they beat the Ravens, of course, as a result of that. He got hot against the Steelers last year and torched them with Indianapolis. If it's Aiden O'Connell, I think you just got to focus on stopping the run and try and force him into turnovers. He's got a lot of physical tools, but the processing issues are all there. And so the Steelers should be able to slow down this offense. If they can, I think, you know, I've been telling people it's not time to hit the panic button just yet on the defense, but if they can't slow him down this week, I think you can be really concerned.
So Max Crosby's really good at football. He is one of the best edge rushers in the game and obviously provides a challenge for the Steelers offensive line that has also been suspect due to injury. We've talked a lot about Dan Moore Jr. We've talked a lot about Broderick Jones, both at offensive left tackle and right tackle. How would you assess both of those guys in the Dallas game? And are you starting to maybe see a little bit of back to neutral maybe from Broderick Jones?
Well, I think Dan Moore's still playing fine. I think he's been, you know, decent. I don't think he's been great, but he's been decent, and they've been able to get by. Broderick Jones is – I know he's not as noticeable anymore in terms of, like, he's not preseason bad. So in that regard, he has had some reversion to the mean. He still is – like, you watch the tape, and you watch some of his plays, and it's just not good. And now they did some things against Dallas that allowed Broderick, I think, to kind of use his strengths. They let him kind of – they moved the pocket a lot. They let him get up on guys a little earlier, and he looked better there. But the run game tape is what's really concerning, Jack. He's missing guys in the run game. There were two or three runs that Najee Harris probably could have broke, and if Broderick Jones just kicks the guy out or gets his hands on the guy, he's probably – you know, he gets 5 or 6 yards on these runs, but he probably could have gotten 15. Broderick Jones is a huge net negative in the run game right now, which is significantly surprising considering what he did last year in the run game. And so I think Jones is still a very concerning player to see. I would not want Max Crosby to be on him, that's for sure. They're going to have to definitely send help his way. And so there's been some regression to the mean just because, again, he was so bad the preseason. It just was not sustainable. But he has still not been great. I would not call his play starter level through 5 weeks.
Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. He covers the Steelers. Nick, real quick, just because I saw it on X, thoughts on the Penguins pawning off the Jake Shake to Brian Rust now and calling it Rusty's Shake?
Rusty Shake. Doesn't have quite the ring of Jake Shake, but
no.
I'll allow it because it's a good tradition to keep around. It's just not sure about the name. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's the same promotional stuff. Half off tomorrow to celebrate the start of the season, and then half off if he scores. Vegas this week, you know, me, Donnie, and the boys will be out there. You'll be there as well. We'll have to link up and have a good time if we can do so. I know you were there last year. Any advice? I mean, you're a young guy. I'm a young guy to a first-time Vegas goer.
Do Vegas like how you would think you should do Vegas. That's what I would say.
All right, Nick.
That's the way to enjoy it, man.
He's Nick.
That's the way to enjoy it.
Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. We'll see you out there, brother. Enjoy the rest of your night, and thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for having me on, Jack. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. We'll talk a little bit more about the edge rushers coming up after the break and actually kind of react a little bit more to the Rusty Shake, because from what I just saw, it's basically the same thing as Jake Shake. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. More coming up after the break, and your phone calls as well at 412-928-9370. I'm Jack Hillgrove on the Fan Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Fan Twitter. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's 8:30. I'm with you till 10:30, 10:35, the nightly sports call here on 93.7 The Fan, simulcast here and also on television, KDK+. Jack Hillgrove with you until then, talking all things Steelers, talking all things Pittsburgh sports at 412-928-9370. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so by giving us a call. We'd be happy to talk to you. Totally forgot about DJ Turner on the Raiders, I have to admit. You know, Turner in college spent, what, a year or two at Pitt. Actually has, I believe, a touchdown this season for the Raiders. He does. I was on a jet sweep against the Browns a couple of weeks ago. All right, beat the Browns with a Pitt guy. You can root for that. You're not going to be rooting for him this week, though, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. 405 out in Vegas. The boys are going. Donnie Football, myself, all of the Waynesburg University crew and Waynesburg adjacent crew will be there. If you have any advice for a couple of first-time Vegas goers, let us know as well. We will need it. I'm very excited to be headed out west to the Sin City for my first time. All right. The edge rushers scare the living daylights out of me. Admittedly, and Joe Starkey was in the same boat. I heard this morning during his show. The two practice squad guys that the Steelers signed, I had no idea who they were and kind of no idea that they were even on the Steelers roster to begin with. So that right there should scare you, because who's going to be rushing the passer? And I made this point earlier in the show, like, good defenses in NFL football in 2024 are good because they get after the quarterback. And the Steelers have done that job perhaps better than anybody in the NFL because of TJ Watt mostly, and then a very, very good complimentary piece in Alex Highsmith and then Nick Herbig when he's healthy. No Highsmith, no Herbig. No Leal. Insert Jeremiah Moon, opposite of TJ Watt, which screams Watt's going to get double teamed, triple teamed, and getting after the quarterback is almost going to be impossible. And that's a scary thought, because you look at what the offense has put on the table, the ability to not really score. I mean, we'll call it what it is. Ade Ogundeji, if I'm mispronouncing that, I apologize, is one of the guys. And then Eku Leota, second-year guy out of Auburn. And then Ade is fourth-year guy out of Notre Dame. So those guys probably will be elevated. We were just talking to Nick Faribault at PennLive.com about the edge rushers situation. Jeremiah Moon, TJ Watt. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Now, I don't necessarily think that Vegas's offensive line is super daunting. Cody Whitehair, pretty darn good guy at left guard. Colton Miller, good tackle. Thayer Munford Jr. listed as questionable as the Raiders starting right tackle. So they've got some injury problems potentially on that offensive line. But again, like, how much of it's going to matter when you've got Jeremiah Moon opposite of TJ Watt? Texter into the text line says, make sure to go to Fremont. Admittedly, I don't know what that is. I've never been to Vegas anymore, so I'm not sure what that is. the street experience in downtown Vegas as I look this up. You can do a zip line. An aquarium. Good food. All right, we might have to check that out. Appreciate the advice there, Texter. Fremont, downtown. Nick in Sacramento, he's got Vegas advice for us. What's up, Nick?
Well, moving from Pittsburgh to the West Coast 30 years ago, probably when I was your age, and I know your father very well, he would probably tell you like I would, being like, if I was your father, keep your hands in your pockets, being your wallet in your front pocket.
Yep.
You don't want to get pickpocketed. That happens. Secondly, don't gamble that much. If you do, make sure you do it with a sober face. I'm not saying you're a drunk. I'm not saying you're going to be out partying. I don't even know you like that. But in a candid sense, just be careful. I mean, honestly, Vegas is a very busy town. You got a lot of different perceptions and a lot of deceptions, kind of like with the Steelers now, segue into that. Every year we play the Raiders, we always have this. It doesn't matter what their record is. It doesn't matter who they have on their team. Let's go back to the Gronkowski. Let's go back to the time in December 9, 2019, when I went down here, anniversary of my father, God rest his soul, to watch him play and hopefully get a win, and they lost. And what I'm trying to say is the Raiders are always pumped up for us.
Yeah.
They're going to be prepared. Antonio Pierce is going to have this team lit up. And whoever the most team that has the most energy, the fire, the discipline is my biggest concern with the Steelers right now. We lack discipline on and off the field. Well, let's not ramble on it, but it is what it is, right? Okay? We have to come out there and play like a team, and hopefully the Steelers
was
a team somewhat with the different aspects. Yes, we have the George Pickens saga. We have the now possibly a quarterback, whatever. I mean, I just wish Tomlin would come out and just say, let's play football. I want Tomlin to be more transparent in his press conferences, but that's never going to happen, Jack. And I'll leave it at that. If you can leave me on the air, because I'm driving right now in traffic in Sacramento, and I'm on Odyssey. So if you don't mind, I can hear your comments about everything. But have fun, Jack, and be safe, all right? I promise you that. You'll have a good time out there.
Yeah, Nick, appreciate it. Thanks for the call, man. I think you were referring to my grandfather, who is Bill Hillgrove Sr. My pap is the voice of the Panthers, former voice of the Steelers. Bill Jr. is my dad. But yeah, he's been there a bunch. My dad was with the radio crew in Vegas last year. I think that goes without saying. Just kind of keep an eye on your personal belongings and all that good stuff. And we'll make sure we have a good time and doing all that stuff. The one comment that Nick mentioned, and I've heard Nick call into the station a bunch, and he's a great caller, but I happen to disagree with, is he said about Antonio Pierce getting the group fired up. What was that, a couple of weeks ago, Jolie, when he said that some of the players made business decisions and something about us having to make some business decisions as well? You couple that, man, with this whole Davante Adams saga, I'm not necessarily sure he's got a firm grasp on that locker room, which to me is one of the very few things, given all the injuries with the Steelers, I'm kind of optimistic for on Sunday.
It's certainly something that, you know, if you're the Steelers, you got to take advantage of it. And this team made a quarterback change against Denver last week. We don't know if we're getting Gardner Minshew on Sunday or if we're getting Aiden O'Connell, the former Purdue quarterback.
Yep.
So, yeah, the Raiders are certainly, there is a lot going around right now with them. And that's something the Steelers are going to have to probably take advantage of. You know, whether Davante Adams is playing in this game or not, whether it's Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, there's a lot going on that the Steelers could really take advantage of for this weekend.
Yeah, and if you look at the game last year, Steelers win and ended up being a close game because Vegas scored, 10, 11 in the fourth quarter and made it a little bit worth, you know, on pins and needles for at the end. Garoppolo threw three interceptions. Steelers were able to get after him a bunch. And Davante Adams went off. 13 receptions, 172 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And we just talked to Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. Might not play. Even if it can play, dealing with a little bit of a hamstring problem, even if he's good enough to go, that might not be 100%. With all this trade stuff with him, like, are they going to even be inclined to play him? So there's a decent chance you don't see Davante Adams. You don't know who the quarterback's going to be. And their leading rusher from last year, Josh Jacobs, plays for the Packers now and is kind of underperforming on my fantasy team. So different faces on this Vegas roster. Zamir White averaging right around 3 yards a carry. Alexander Mattison, 4 yards a carry. Like, they don't necessarily scare you in the running game. As a team, they average 3.9 yards per carry. So that bodes well for injuries on the Steelers' defense. And I will probably predict the Steelers to win this game if Davante Adams doesn't play, regardless of if it's Minshew or O'Connell. But one of the things that Nick mentioned, man, I don't necessarily think that Antonio Pierce will get them fired up to play. Now, he might not have to, right? There's a cultural disdain that stretches back decades from a Raiders perspective against the Steelers, i.e. the greatest play, sports play in this city's history. Actually, it might even be a toss-up, and that's a discussion for another day, whether or not you'd pick the Immaculate Reception or Mazeroski's walk-off homer in the World Series. It's 1A and 1B. Flip-flop them however you want. Regardless, because of that play, there's a lot of dislike there from the Raiders' side of things. That has been passed down from owners to owner's son, Mark Davis, Al Davis. So you might not have to do a whole lot of motivating. There might be some incline there from the guys on the roster. But again, you look at what the Steelers are bringing to the table defensively. You just got to hope that Tomlin, T.A., and the personnel can adjust, because what has been the Steelers' bread and butter defensively, getting after the quarterback, might have gotten a hell of a lot harder with Nick Herbig and Alex Highsmith on the shelf for this week. Didn't even get into this segment we were talking about. I asked Nick this because I just saw it on X before we went to the last break. Your thoughts, Joel, on them just running it back with the same milkshake and calling it Rusty Shake now that Jake Gensel plays in Tampa and got traded last year?
It's not going to be the same, right? That's for sure. I like that they're still keeping the idea open and available, and it's probably something that I will take advantage of. I'll probably find myself at the Southside Milkshake Factory here and there for the Rusty Shake, but it's not going to be the same as the Jake Shake. I like that it's continuing.
We couldn't get a little bit more creative with the name.
They had a good while to come up with it, too.
Like, you've got that chocolate line in the middle of the, like, call it like the Rust Belt or so, I don't know, like something a little bit more creative. I don't know. I might change my career and go into creative marketing based off that, because I think that's actually a pretty damn good name.
I like that. The Rust Belt, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because you've got that.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Well, it's a damn good milkshake, and I'm glad it's staying around. And it'll be half off all day tomorrow, and then it'll be half off every time Brian Rust scores, which won't be for a little bit because it looks like Brian Rust is going to be on injured reserve to start this season. One of the other things, too, and getting back into the hockey talk before we go to break, and my optimism level, if you heard that earlier in the show, for the Penguins is at an all-time low. One of the very few exciting things about this team is that Rutger McGroarty made the opening night roster. They make the trade for him in the offseason. He's what, 20? Not even 21. I thought he was 21. He's 20 years old. They trade him for Braden Jaeger, and it was one of those trades that was just pretty much the same exact thing, but a year behind. I believe Jaeger was the 14th overall pick in 23. McGroarty was the 14th overall pick to Winnipeg in 22. So you look at that and say, okay, he's got a year further in progression, and it seems like that because McGroarty made the opening night roster. Big forward, but reading his scouting report, speed and skating is something that the kid's got to work on. And to me, that's kind of par for the course because one of the things that watching this Penguins team time in and time out the last couple of years is just them lacking speed from their forwards. So we'll see. pulling for the kid. Exciting that they've got a young up-and-coming prospect on the opening night roster. You couple him with a guy like Michael Bunting, who showed glimpses in the capacity we saw him last year after the Gensel trade. Crosby still doing Sidney Crosby things. You just hope that Erik Karlsson can kind of channel the money he's making, what he was traded for, and can channel a little bit of, oh, I'm the best defensive player in hockey again. Because if he can do that, I'll feel a little bit better about what the Penguins bring to the table in 24-25. But until then, I'm not optimistic. If you are and you want to talk me off the ledge, feel free to do so at 412-928-9370. If you think I'm crazy, give me a call as well. More coming up after the break at 9 o'clock. Stephen Thompson covers Pitt for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We'll talk about the Panthers 1991, the last time that they were 5-0 to start a season. Talk a little bit about that. And, of course, some other sports at Pitt. Volleyball, men's and women's soccer, kicking butt. All of that coming up on the Fan Evening Show. All right, Jolie, it seems like, and I kind of put it off because I wanted to see if we got more responses, but I didn't know that we would or not. On the pro cons for Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and after going through the comments on the YouTube stream, going through the comments in the text line and the phone calls that we got, it pretty much boils down to, and I think it's pretty cut and dry, Justin Fields is mobile and has a sample size this year of not being able to turn the ball over. Russell Wilson, older, less mobile, rusty, and I really can't think of anything else. I think it's pretty cut and dry, and I think because of that, they'll end up going with Justin Fields this week because, again, there is that sample size, and Nick Faribault brought up a great point, too. If, you know, if Mike Tomlin's saying that we're going to, you know, don't want to limit Russell or Justin's first team reps throughout the week. Pretty much seems like that Justin Fields is going to be the guy on Sunday in Vegas.
Yeah, it's definitely the mobility that Justin Fields has compared to Russell Wilson. Something I've thought of is, what if this was Russell Wilson's first year after Seattle? Like, his first year with Denver was 2022, and so whatever season that was for him, what, like his 10th season maybe, something like that, where maybe he has just a little bit of mobility left, and he probably still does, but maybe a touch more. I wonder then if you would take him right now, you know, compared to...
No, I know. You mean trying to, like, roll back the odometer, hypothetically.
Just a little bit, yeah. Or maybe the tail end of his Seattle career, if it would make a difference if you start him now, or Justin Fields, based on mobility between the two players.
And the biggest thing, too, is, like, you know, we talked about this last week. If the guy's dealing with a calf issue and is running on an anti-gravity treadmill, which I didn't know existed until tonight, there's an issue there with the calf. And you need your quarterback to be more mobile, especially with an offensive line that has struggled the last couple of weeks and is dealing with injury. Have you ever been to Vegas?
Yes. It's been a good while, a decade.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't remember. It was like a family trip.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously, you weren't of age yet, but it's one of those places you can still enjoy yourself if you're not, like, there's enough to do there, even if you're not old enough to, you know, order an adult beverage.
I'd say so. Even just going to, like, downtown Las Vegas at night, where you got all the flashy, fancy lights and stuff, and just going around the city. I mean, that itself, I think, is really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We fly out Saturday morning early after I will be covering high school football on Friday night. So sleep, not great, but that's what the plane ride's for.
It'll end up being worth it after what should be a pretty incrinculent, nasty boys trip out to Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. One of the big hurdles that, you know, obviously you don't figure out until the game times are announced in college football, I was anxious about the Pitt-Cal game because we won't land until, I think, 11 o'clock Vegas time. At least that's where we're scheduled to right now. And, of course, you never know these days with air travel. But the Pitt-Cal game, obviously, at 3:30. So it'll be 12:30 Vegas time. So hypothetically, knock on wood, everything stays on schedule, we should get in time to watch the Panthers take on the Golden Bears.
That should be a pretty fun game, and Pitt ideally should be able to get to 6-0 when it's all said and done.
I agree, and that's one of the things we'll talk about with Stephen Thompson coming up after the break here on the Fan Evening Show. Stephen does a fantastic job covering the Panthers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Speaking of Pitt Athletics, and somebody brought this up on the text line earlier in the show, and I haven't really had the chance to talk about it a whole lot, is how good other sports are at Pitt right now, especially with the volleyball program. 14-0, and they just lost their first set on Friday, a week ago, to Boston College. They won that match 3-1. So what? I suck at math. They're 42-1 in sets this year as the number one team in the nation, on a great pace to make another NCAA Final Four. Olivia Babcock is one of the best players in the nation. You couple her with Tori Stafford, Valeria Vasquez Gomez. Got some heavy hitters on the outside and out of the middle, man. They are fun to watch. I was at that match a couple of weeks ago in the Pete against Penn State. One of the things that I tweeted, if you saw it, was, I'd been a part of some pretty incredible moments in that arena. And I'm a young guy. I'm only 26, but I've been going to games my whole life in that place. I saw all the battles. I was there for Ronald Ramon's buzzer beater against West Virginia. I was there for UConn on Sunday afternoon, Villanova's on Sunday afternoon, Syracuse matchups. I was there when Tyler Ennis made the half-court shot to beat Pitt. That sucked. But again, fantastic ball game. I've been in that place when it's been as loud as it's ever been, and in a damn near sellout crowd for a volleyball match between Pitt and Penn State and two top five programs. That was one of the best and most loudest I've ever heard the Peterson Event Center, especially recently, because the basketball program, except for the last couple of years, hasn't been great. So to hear that for the way that it unfolded was pretty darn cool. And the women's soccer program as well, fantastic. Both soccer programs, actually. Men's and women's. Kicking butt, taking names. So good to see down there in Oakland with the Panthers. Couple of calls, couple of people on hold. Start with Paul in Pittsburgh, wants to talk about Las Vegas. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you? Thanks for giving us a buzz.
I'm very good. Couple quick things. I was just in Vegas, actually last October, and it's a 4-hour flight. So
see, we connect
as much as you can.
We connect. We fly from Pittsburgh to Dallas-Fort Worth, and then from Dallas-Fort Worth to Vegas.
Oh, then that's going to be longer, because I flew straight shot, no stops.
Okay.
So it was 4 hours. So you're probably looking with a layover, maybe 6.5 or 7. So you'll be fine with sleep, no doubt. When you get to the airport and you get your stuff, do not take a shuttle. Spend $40 or $45 for a cab, because it's about a 35-minute cab ride from the airport into downtown Vegas. It's well worth the money, because the shuttle stops at every single hotel, and if you're not the first one they're stopping at, it could take you an hour and a half or 2 hours or more. So take a cab. There's plenty of cabs right there at the airport, and it's well worth that money. I did it, and it's worth it. It's about, like I said, even in a cab, it's about a 35-minute drive.
Yeah, and we would need a couple of them, because there's 12 of us going out, and even if you split it 3 or 4 ways, it definitely sounds like the more feasible option for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's well worth it, because, yes. And it's a bumpy ride. It's not a beautiful highway into the city you would think it was. It's not, which I was kind of surprised at. And one of the things you might want to see, whether you're partying or not, you got to see the Dancing Waters at the Bellagio.
Yeah.
At night. beautiful. Just the most beautiful thing you've ever seen.
All right. Yeah, that's... on the surface, Paul, that was one of the things that, you know, just you hear about in without...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.